Since there are so few of you this morning, y'all got to be loud when I ask for those amens. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all don't seem real sure about that. Don't make me turn you into my amen corner, my hallelujah corner. This point for my amen.
Amen.
My hallelujahs.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, this morning we continue our series on Back to the Basics. And the title of my sermon this morning is Your Kingdom Story. Amen? Because every believer who is in this sanctuary this morning has a story to tell. It is a story of a Savior reaching into the darkness of your sinful life and bringing you into new life that you now walk with Him. Oh, hallelujah. For some believers, that story has rarely been spoken out loud. Perhaps you've never even shared it with somebody. For others, you cannot simply help but speak about what the Lord has done in your life because of the grace of God has so deeply changed you. But whether if it has ever been spoken often or whether it has mostly remained unspoken, every believer in this room has a story of grace. Oh, hallelujah. And church, that story matters because of the mission that Jesus left to His church. And no one here this morning should be able to say that they are unaware of what that mission is because the words of Christ have been preserved for us in the Word of God. In fact, I use these verses so many times you should almost have them memorized. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." These words, they remind us that the church of Jesus Christ, we have been given a clear and unchanging mission. Amen? We are called to make disciples. We are called to proclaim the gospel. We are called to point people to the Savior who alone can forgive sins and give eternal life. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 encourages us and gives us the same command. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This verse tells us that our ability to witness is not from ourselves, but from the Spirit working in us, empowering ordinary believers to participate in God's extraordinary mission. Yet when many believers hear that mission, they immediately begin to wonder how they fit into it. Some, they feel like they don't know enough Scripture. Others, they feel as if they're not gifted in speaking. And still others quietly assume that sharing the gospel is something better left to pastors, to missionaries, or people who are naturally bold. But how do we participate in this mission? Well, Scripture, it gives us guidance, beginning with the call to be ready to share the hope that is within us. Amen? So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Oh, hallelujah. Peter, he is reminding believers that our lives should display a hope that the world cannot explain. And when people see that hope and begin to ask where it comes from, we are called to be ready with an answer. And very often that answer begins with a story. It's a story of who we were before Christ and who we are now because of Christ. It's a story of how God's grace, it reached into our lives and it brought us out of the darkness and now into the light. Somebody get excited. In other words, this story, it is our testimony. And our testimony is not simply a memory from the past. Amen? It is one of the ways that God uses His people to shine the light of the gospel into a world that desperately needs it. And this world desperately needs it. So this morning, we're going to look at what Scripture teaches us about our kingdom stories. Because understanding the testimony He has given to each and every believer is crucial for fulfilling the mission that Christ left to His church. And if we're going to understand the importance of our testimony, we must begin by understanding what our kingdom story actually is. As I've already said, every believer in this room has a story. And every believer has a different background and a different life experience. Yet when Scripture describes salvation, it reveals that every Christian testimony follows the same movement of grace. Our story tells of who we were before Christ and who we are now because of Christ. The circumstances, they may vary from person to person, but the spiritual reality is the same for every believer. Amen? Before Christ, we were separated from God and we were living under the power of sin. And the Apostle Paul, he describes that condition very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This passage, it reminds us that before Christ, our greatest problem was not our circumstances. It wasn't our struggles or even the brokenness around us. Our greatest problem was our separation from God, the one who created us. Paul, he says we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. We were following the course of this world and living according to the desires of our flesh. Sin was not simply something we struggled with from time to time. It was the condition of our hearts. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This verse, it reminds us that every person stands in the same condition before God. Our lives, they may look different on the surface, but Scripture, it makes it clear that all of us have fallen short of God's glory. Amen? And because of that sin, the consequences, it's serious and it's eternal. Romans 6, 23. "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, hallelujah! Before Christ, we were separated from God, unable to save ourselves and unable to restore what has been broken. And that is the reality of who we were before the grace of God reached us. But the gospel is the good news that God did not leave us in that condition. Just a few verses later, in the passage that we read earlier, Paul describes the turning point of every Christian testimony. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Those two words at the beginning of that first verse marked the turning point of every kingdom story. But God. We were lost in sin, but God intervened. We were spiritually dead, but God made us alive through Jesus Christ. That, church, is the miracle of salvation. God, in His mercy and His love, He sent His Son into the world so that sinners could be forgiven and brought into new relationship with Him. Oh, hallelujah! John chapter 3, verse 16, we should all have this one memorized. And if you have this one memorized, you know enough to share the gospel. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So even before we understood our need or turned to God, He moved in His love, demonstrating that salvation is not initiated by us, but it is initiated entirely in His mercy, and not because of our merit. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 declares, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." Church, we've been saved from the wrath of God. Oh, hallelujah. Our loved ones who aren't saved are still under that wrath. This shows that our salvation was initiated entirely by God's love, not because of anything in us. And it highlights the unmerited nature of grace. When a person repents of sin and places their faith in Jesus Christ, something profound takes place. Scripture, it describes it as new life. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27 had this to say, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." The old life that was separated from God has now been replaced by a new life that is reconciled to Him through Christ. Amen? Our sins were forgiven, our relationship with God is restored, and we were brought into the family of God. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." It's another one of those few verses that make me really excited when I read it. And that transformation, church, is the heart of every testimony. You see, our kingdom story is not primarily the details about our past. Amen? And praise God for that. Our kingdom story is about the grace of God that met us in our sin and brought us into new life through Jesus Christ. And when we share our testimony, we're simply telling that story. We're declaring that once we were lost, but Christ, He found us. Once we were separated from God, but through the cross we have been reconciled to Him. And Romans chapter 8, verse 1 reminds us of the full security of that reconciliation. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Our story is not only about rescue from sin, it's also about living in the freedom of God's mercy every day. Yet, church, our kingdom story, it doesn't end with the moment that we came to faith in Christ. Because God, He continues to work in the lives of His people every day. And learning to recognize those moments becomes an important part of sharing the hope that we now have. This is part of the reason why on Sunday morning I say, what has God done for you? Testify to what God's doing for you this week. You got to recognize those moments because they're important. It should not be the most quiet part of our service. Amen? Because God, He's working in you, He's working through you, and you need to recognize that. Salvation is the beginning of a new life, but it is not the end of God's work in us. The Lord, He continues to shape His people. He continues to guide them, to answer their prayers, and to use them as instruments for His grace in the lives of others. And throughout the Christian life, there are moments when we suddenly recognize that God is at work in a way that demands our attention. Sometimes it comes when a prayer is answered in a way that only God could accomplish. Sometimes it comes when the Word of God speaks directly to a situation that you're facing. Sometimes it comes when we realize that God has placed us in the right place at the right time to encourage someone or point them to Christ. And these moments are often described with the word kairos, one of my favorite Greek words. While there is one Greek word that for time that simply refers to the passing of minutes and hours, and that word is chronos. But the word kairos, it describes a moment filled with meaning and opportunity. It's a moment when God is working in a way that invites our response. And recognizing these moments is not only for our encouragement, they often become openings through which we share the story of God's work in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Amen? And oh boy, are the days evil. Church, to redeem the time means that we are paying attention to the opportunities that God is placing before us each and every day. And if we do that, we're walking wisely and recognizing the Lord at work, even in the ordinary moments of our lives. The people of God have always been called to recognize and declare what the Lord is doing. Psalm 66:16 says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul." The psalmist, he didn't keep the works of God to himself. And when we see what God has done, he spoke about it. He invited others to hear the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Oh, hallelujah. And that same spirit of praise should mark the lives of believers today. Amen? You can't say amen, you need to say ouch. When we begin to recognize these kairos moments when God is working, our first response should be gratitude and worship. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." If you are a believer, you have been redeemed. You have been delivered from the hand of the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. So those who have been redeemed are not called to remain silent. Amen? When we see the hand of God at work in our lives, Scripture calls for us to speak about it. And often those moments become opportunities to encourage others with the hope that we have in Christ. Do you have hope in Christ today? I hope you do. Are you still as excited about the hope you have in Christ today as you did the day that you were saved? If so, your life should show it. Too many Christians act like they have no hope. They have no joy. God, He's still working on me, amen. The Apostle Paul reminds believers that God is actively working in their lives even now. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." So until we either go home or Jesus appears in the sky, God is still working in your life today. And we need to recognize that. Because the Lord who saved us continues his work in us. He continues to guide, to teach, and to transform his people. And when we begin to recognize those moments, something should happen in our hearts. Instead of seeing our faith as something distant or abstract, we begin to see the hand of God moving in the details of our lives, and that should stir our hearts to joy. And when that happens, it should lead us to praise God in his faithfulness. It should lead us to say to others, let me tell you what the Lord has been doing in me. And those moments, they may seem small, but God can use those small moments in powerful ways. Amen? And Scripture reminds us the Lord places his people in very specific moments for his purposes. Esther chapter 4, verse 14 says, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Here, Mordecai, he's telling Esther that her life and position, they're not accidents. God had placed her in that moment, at that place, for a purpose that she couldn't see yet. And that same truth is at work today. God has placed his people in homes and workplaces, schools and communities where they will encounter people who need to hear about Jesus. Church, our mission statement is helping people find and follow Jesus. So who are you helping find Jesus today? Because most of the opportunities that we have are not going to come with a stage or a spotlight. They're going to come quietly in the middle of ordinary conversations and everyday life. But when we learn to recognize those Kairos moments, we begin to see that God is constantly opening doors for us to share the hope that we have in Christ. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. This reminds us that recognizing Kairos moments must be accompanied by intentional, Spirit-led words that reflect Christ's love. And when we recognize those moments, we should rejoice in what God is doing. Praise Him for His work and share that story with others so that they too may see the goodness of our God. And as we look at the testimony God has written in our lives, as we learn to recognize the moments when He is working in us and through us, we must also understand something important. Sharing our kingdom story is not merely a personal choice. It is part of the mission that God has given to His people. Amen? Throughout the Gospels, we see that when Jesus, He changed somebody's life, He often gave them a very simple instruction. He told them, go and tell others what the Lord has done. And one of the clearest examples appears in the Gospel of Mark when Jesus, He delivered a man who had been living in torment under demonic oppression. After the Lord had set him free, the man, he wanted to remain with Jesus, but Jesus gave him a different instruction. So in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Notice what Jesus told him to do. He didn't say, go home and prepare a sermon. He didn't tell him to go home and become a teacher. He simply told him to go and tell others what God had done. In other words, go and share your story. And this shows that the most powerful witness is often a personal testimony rather than a polished message. Church, I want y'all to understand that in this community, you are all going to be so much more effective than me at reaching the lost. Amen? The man who had once been broken and bound by darkness now became a witness to the mercy and compassion of Christ. That pattern, it appears over and over again throughout Scripture. And when people of God see the hand of the Lord at work, they must speak about it. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples." The works of God are not meant to remain hidden. They're meant to be declared so that others may see His power and grace. When we share our testimony, we're doing the same thing. We're declaring the works of God in our own lives. But the New Testament, it goes even further and shows us that our testimony is not only about our personal witness. Our testimony, our kingdom story, is part of something much greater. The Apostle Paul explains when God saves a person, He also entrusts them with a mission. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That verse describes the transformation that takes place through the gospel. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun through the grace of Jesus Christ. But Paul, he continues by explaining this new life carries a responsibility, the ministry of reconciliation. So picking up in verse 18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the mission of reconciliation." God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Do you get all that? The God who has reconciled us to Himself has entrusted us with that same message of reconciliation. We were once separated from God. But through the cross of Christ, we have been brought near. Amen? And now that message has changed our lives. And that is the message that we carry to the world around us. Paul, he describes his calling even in stronger terms in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." An ambassador represents the authority of the one who sent them, and they carry a message that is not their own. In the same way, believers represent Christ in the world. But how are we doing with that today? Our lives and our words become a witness to the saving grace of the gospel. And very often, the first step in that witness is simply sharing the story of what God has done in our own lives. Our kingdom story becomes a testimony of grace that points others to the Savior who is able to reconcile sinners to God. Amen? Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 further emphasize this point. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not yet believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Each believer through their story becomes a sent messenger fulfilling God's plan of salvation for others. So when we step back and consider everything that the Scripture has shown us this morning, one truth becomes very clear. Every believer has a kingdom story. It is the story of who we were before Christ and who we are now because of Christ. It's a story of how the mercy of God, it reached into our lives and brought us from darkness into the light. But it's also the story that God continues to write each and every day. As He works in us, answers our prayers, as He shapes our character and places us in moments where we can point others toward Him. And as we recognize those moments, our response should not be silence. It should be praise. Psalm 96, verse 2 and 3. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people. Church, the works of God are meant to be declared. Amen. The salvation He has given is meant to be spoken of. The grace that has changed our lives is meant to be shared so that others may see the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes believers, they hesitate because they believe their story is not dramatic enough. Perhaps your journey to Christ was quiet. Maybe your salvation, your transformation, it wouldn't have made the headlines. Perhaps you were brought through faith gently, through faithful parents, a Sunday school teacher, or a quiet conviction of the Holy Spirit. But Scripture reminds us that the power of a testimony does not come from how dark our past was. Amen? The power of a testimony comes from the grace of God who saved us. Jesus, He once told a parable that helps us understand this truth in Luke chapter 7, verse 41 through 43. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one who owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, He freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love Him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom He forgave more. And He said to him, you have rightly judged. In this parable, both debtors are forgiven. Both experience a grace that could not be earned. And the point of the parable is not to compare the size of the debt, but to recognize the greatness of the mercy that cancels it. Every kingdom story of salvation, whether dramatic or quiet, is a miracle of mercy. It's a miracle of God's grace. Every redeemed life is evidence that Jesus saves. So each of our stories matter in God's kingdom. This is why Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples. This is why He sent us into the world with a message of reconciliation. Again, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 declare, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Your kingdom story matters. No matter how ordinary it may seem to you, it may be exactly what God uses to point somebody else to Him. Sometimes it'll be in a long conversation. Sometimes it'll be a quiet word in a moment of need. Sometimes it'll happen by simply saying, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. I encourage you to pay attention to the work of God in your life. Rejoice when you see His hand guiding you. Praise Him for His faithfulness and share your story with boldness and humility. The story that God has written in your life was never meant to remain hidden. It was meant to point people to the Savior who is still transforming lives today. No matter the drama of your past, no matter the size of your trials, your story matters. Every redeemed life carries the message of hope that this world is desperately waiting to hear. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 reminds us of the power inherent in our stories. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Oh, hallelujah! Our personal testimony rooted in the gospel is not merely anecdotal. It is a vessel of God's power to bring salvation and hope to those who hear it. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 urges us to encourage one another. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Our kingdom story shared within communities of believers builds faith, they ignite hope, and inspire obedience in others. And in 2 weeks, you have an opportunity to stand up here and share your kingdom story. And I encourage you to do so, because it will change your life. And it might change somebody's life too. Praise God for the grace that He has shown you. And don't be afraid to tell others what God has done for you. Because the story that God has written in your life was never meant to remain hidden. It was meant to point people to the Savior who is still transforming. And finally, let us remember Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Every believer's kingdom story, when shared, becomes a light in the darkness. It testifies to the faithfulness of God, the reality of His grace, and the transformative power of Christ. So even if our stories seem quiet or ordinary, it has the potential to illuminate hearts and awaken faith in others. This is why your testimony, your kingdom story, matters. Because it's not measured by drama, by the intensity of past sin, or by the grandeur of your transformation. Its power comes from God who saves, who redeems, and who works in the lives of His people. Your story is significant because it is part of the greater story of God's kingdom advancing in this world. And as believers in Christ, we are not only recipients of grace, but also instruments of God's grace. The Lord, He has invited us to participate in His mission, using the details of our lives to demonstrate His mercy and His love. Every conversation, every encouragement, every act of obedience can become a means by which someone else encounters Jesus. So go and tell others what God has done. Go and make disciples. Go and let your kingdom story shine for the glory of Christ. And remember, even the seemingly small moments, that prayer quietly answered, the word shared in love, the gentle testimony spoken in a hallway, they're all opportunities that God gives us to participate in His redemptive work. Nothing in your story is too small when it is held in the hands of the God who changes lives. So step forward with confidence, knowing that your testimony carries the weight of God's glory. Speak boldly. Live faithfully and allow your kingdom story to point others to the Savior whose grace transformed your life. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that each and every one of us has a kingdom story to tell. No matter whether it was dramatic or it was quiet, it carries the same weight because it was accomplished in the same way. Your word tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. It means that all of us need a Savior. And your redeemed people who have been saved through the finished work of the cross, so hallelujah, we have a story to tell. And Lord, I know that there is probably somebody out there waiting to hear our story so that their life might be changed, so that they might be introduced to your grace, to your mercy, to your love. Father, I pray that you would give us boldness to step out, to share our kingdom stories with people at every opportunity that we get. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see your hand working in us and through us to show us those kairos moments that you place us in, so that we might proclaim your glory, to give you praise, to say, let me tell you what God is doing in my life today. Father, I thank you for all that you have done. I thank you that you use redeemed people to accomplish your mission, that we all get to be part of that mission. Today, we offer this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.